Yes, honey.
So, I think it's going now. It is. So, on behalf of Many Rivers, it's my great pleasure to welcome Jackie Kramer for this very special tea, hat, and book party.
And the tea, book, hat, book.
Tea, hat, book. Tea, hat, book. Book, hat, tea. Hat, tea, book. Hat, book, tea.
Nice thing to do on a rainy, rainy morning, huh?
This
Come and have tea and read a book.
Indeed. And this is the book that Jackie's going to be reading from. It's called Kindness, a Treasury of Buddhist Wisdom for Children and Parents.
Have a seat.
Have a seat. Come on in.
This is a wonderful little book. I've had it for like about, I don't know, I've had it at least 5 years. But getting ready for this, I looked through it and I found all sorts of great little stories. It's kind of like Aesop's fables, but in Buddhist fashion. So, you like that one?
So yeah. I'm also going to make some tea kuan yin for the adults. This is honeybush tea that we're passing around.
It's herbal.
It's an herbal tea. Has a natural smell of honeycomb. So try to smell the honeycomb.
Wow.
It's tea.
I love their teas here. They're just so wonderful.
She's right there.
Okay. The special date. We don't get cookies in the morning every day. This is kind of special. Okay, so I picked out a few stories, and I'll just read them to you, and you can enjoy your tea and cookies and hear the story. The Elephant and the Wind, and this is a Jataka tale. And those are the tales of the Buddha before he became a human being, stories of when he was, they're like fables about when he was an animal, took an animal life. When the Buddha stayed at his monastery in Jetavana, there was a monk with a questionable past in constant fear of his life. If the wind rustled the leaves of the tree or a shrill bird call rang through the forest, the monk shrieked and quickly hid under the nearest table. Soon his constant trepidation began to affect the other monks. Not wanting to be infected with similar fears, the group of monks had just begun discussing the problem when the Buddha entered the room. Hearing all about the jittery monk, the Buddha gently suggested, "Don't be angry with this brother, monks. Once before, long ago, in another lifetime, he carried this same dread in his heart, and just like long ago, with our help, he will slowly learn to leave his fears behind." Then the Buddha recounted the tale. Here's the picture.
Buddha.
Once upon a time, many years ago, the former Buddha lived as a tree sprite in the jungled foothills of the Himalayan mountains. And in those days, there lived a great white and beautiful elephant in a nearby city. The king gave over the care of his rare elephant to the royal animal trainers, hoping that she would learn to perform tricks. Sadly, though, and unbeknownst to the king, they treated her cruelly. Chained and shackled her to a large post, she was held prisoner. They instantly barked commands at her. If she disobeyed her trainers or needed to rest, they prodded her and poked her belly with sharp rods and lashed her legs with stinging whips. Not nice.
Hey.
Finally, they wounded her one too many times. Anguished, she fought against her shackles until they broke. With her immense strength, she plowed through the wide brick walls and escaped the compound. The trainers scattered and ran for their lives. The great elephant fled as fast as she could, deep and far into the hills. She ran and ran until she was very far from civilization, and she still kept running. The men were later sent to recapture her, but couldn't find a trace of her and eventually gave up their search. Months passed, and although people had forgotten about the elephant had not forgotten about the people. She was terrified of being caught again. When the long, lush meadow grass rustled in the wind, she would startle from her sleep and stampede through the trees, bellowing in fright. Up mountainsides she clambered, down valleys. She ran and ran, never at peace. In constant dread, she lived as though she were still tied to her own training post. And in time, the great elephant grew deathly thin and weak from exhaustion. Now, in these same mountains lived the Buddha as a tree sprite. Many times he had watched the agitated elephant pace back and forth beneath his tree. But now he saw that the elephant would die without some help. Luckily, his chance came soon. It was a scorching hot summer day, and the elephant needed relief and rest in the tree shade directly below him. The little sprite quietly slipped in to the lowest fork of the tree, very much like leaf-dappled sunshine, before the elephant had noticed him. And before she could run away in alarm, the sprite whispered in her ear, "Do you fear the wind? That only blows the leaves away? So much fear held in your heart will waste thee all away." The elephant heard the sprite's quiet words and found them soothing. It was a new feeling. She didn't run. Looking at the tiny sprite among the leaves. What is a sprite? That's a good question.
Yeah, what's a sprite?
It's like a little fairy. A little tiny little beam of light fairy.
So,
there's no picture of it.
Yeah, there is.
Is there one here? Oh, thank you. There is a picture. Okay. There's a sprite. There's a sprite with the elephant. Oh, here come some people with hats.
That's right. There's more coming.
More hats coming.
Here's your hats coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's delightful. You know, with tea, it's really fun to smell it first.
There's two things over there.
It's very delightful.
Would you like some oil tea?
Sure.
Thank you.
So bit by bit, the elephant relearned how to enjoy her life in the mountains. Little by little, she was able to sleep through the calm and night sounds of the forest. The dark, moonless nights no longer scared her. Instead, she beheld a glittering, star-filled sky. Hello! Welcome!
Hi.
Wow. Very cool hats. Wow. Very fancy. Yeah, like a cowgirl. Do you like this tea? Did you try your tea?
Yeah.
You drank all of it?
Wow.
So bit by bit, the elephant relaxed and learned to enjoy the mountains. She was able to sleep through the calm and night sounds of the forest. The dark, moonless nights no longer scared her. Instead, she beheld a glittering, star-filled sky. She sought out the company of other creatures, frolicked and played. Thanks to the kindness of the tree sprite, the great elephant became strong and healthy and lived very happily for a long time. And so the Buddha concluded this lesson with the monks. From that day on, they treated the restless monk carefully with kindness and compassion until finally his last fear was gone. I love that story. Because sometimes when people are, like, really scared, like, they may scare us or they may act mean, and we kind of want to stay away from them. And what the Buddha says, no, try being nice to them when somebody's being mean. Because if they're being mean, it probably means that they're not too happy. That something's, if their heart is hurting. Oh, this is delightful tea. And welcome to this rainy morning tea hat book party. Okay. All right, you ready for another story?
Mm-hmm.
Ready for another story? Okay. The noble ibex. Do you know what an ibex is? It's kind of like a deer. Yeah. It kind of looks like a deer. Did you eat both those cookies already? Oh, my goodness. No?
I'm not finished with it.
Hi. Welcome. Do you need let's see, I think... Rose, here's another chair if you want one, too.
Una.
You want a chair?
Sit here.
And some tea and cookies.
Do we need another one?
No. We need a cookie.
Oh, does Tim want a chair?
It's okay.
So what I was just saying was that... this is about the noble ibex, and an ibex is like a deer. And this is a Jataka tale. There we go. Thank you. Here's a picture of an ibex.
Ibexes live in the mountains, high in the mountains.
So they would be like in Himalaya?
In the Himalayas, that's right. That's right.
See the ibex? It kind of looks like a deer. Who's seen a deer? Has anybody here seen
a
deer?
I have.
Yeah? So you know what they look like, huh? And they're very gentle creatures, aren't they?
Well, actually, I've seen a boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl. Wow. Okay. Once upon a time, the Buddha was born as a magnificent ibex. Yes? Yeah. The forest in which he lived was far from civilization and therefore tranquil, inhabited by many creatures, both small and large. Its lakes were pristine, and along the banks a clear babbling brooks were found rare flowers, which blossomed nowhere else on earth. Wow, that sounds really like a pretty place, doesn't it? Trees towered above the lush undergrowth and kept the forest cool and mild. The noble ibex that lived in this forest, the former Buddha, was as beautiful as he was sleek and swift. He had the body of an animal, but the intelligence and empathy of a human being. So deep was his compassion for all living creatures that he often trod delicately so as not to crush anything. He ate nothing but the tips of the grasses already gone to seed. As this region was renowned for its great beauty, hunting parties would at times make long journeys to reach it. On one occasion, a king and his royal retinue camped at the edge of the forest, hoping to bag large amounts of game before the end of their stay. One morning, the king set out on horseback with his small group following him. Not long after, the king caught a glimpse of the splendid ibex to hunt him down. Snapping his reins across the horse's neck, the king dashed away in chase, leaving the group far behind. No. When the ibex heard the quick pounding of hoofs, he turned and saw the king swiftly bearing down upon him. The king's bow was drawn taut and an arrow ready in the sights. Although the ibex could have fought the king's attack, My assistant will demonstrate. Although the ibex could have fought the king's attack, he chose to avoid violence, even in self-defense. So the ibex spun around and took off with great speed toward the dense center of the forest, confident the king could not overtake him. Through the thick forest he sprang until still pursued by the king, but the distance between them was increasing. Yet ibex came to a familiar small deep chasm and leapt over it effortlessly. But the king's horse, coming to that same rocky cliff, abruptly pressed his way backwards and refused to jump. The king had been watching the ibex, not the forest floor. So when the horse stopped with a jolt, the surprised king fell forward headlong into the chasm. You know what a chasm is?
No.
A chasm is like a deep hole. So the king is running on his horse, chasing this really beautiful ibex who's like really fast. And he hit a big hole and he fell into it. Let's see. After a time, the ibex heard no hoofbeats in pursuit. He slowed and twisted his head around to examine the situation behind him. There in the distance, he spotted the riderless horse at the chasm's edge and correctly guessed that it happened to be the king. A sudden welling of compassion. Do you know what compassion is? Compassion is like love, like when you see your mom or your dad or your dog and you feel, oh, I love you.
That's what about cat?
Or your cat? That's compassion.
Because I love my cat.
Yes, so you feel compassion for your cat.
I love my dog and I share with other people.
Well, there you go. So you guys all know what compassion is. So he had compassion for his would-be murderer. He anticipated that the king must be in a lot of pain, surely having broken a number of bones in the fall. He knew also that the king would never survive long in the forest. It was rife with tigers and other beasts. The ibex walked into the chasm edge and beheld the king far below, moaning and writhing in pain. He no longer looked upon the king as his enemy, but felt his suffering keenly. The former Buddha gently inquired, "I hope your majesty has no serious wounds. Might the pain of your injuries be diminishing by now?" The king looked up at the ibex in utter astonishment. He felt a dreadful pang of remorse for his behavior toward this noble animal. Oh, how the king felt his shame. Do you know what that shame is feeling?
No.
Like when you do something like you're not supposed to do and you just feel like, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. That's what that is. That's what the king felt. "You see, your excellency," comforted the ibex, "I am no wild devil to be hunted for sport. I am just a peaceful creature living within the bounds of this beautiful forest." "Oh," blurted out the king, "it is I who acted as a beast, not you. Can you ever forgive me?" he asked. "My physical pain right now," continued the king, "is far less than the pain I feel for having threatened a noble creature such as yourself." "Sire," responded the ibex, "let me help you out of your predicament. I can rescue you if you'll trust me." The ibex took the king's silence as a sign of goodwill and knew that the king would accept his help. He then searched for a boulder as heavy as a man and practiced lifting it. When he felt he could do it safely without slipping, he made his way down the scree beside the king. "If you mount me as you would your horse, your excellency, I believe I can leap out of the chasm with you on my back," offered the ibex. The king followed these directions and held on as best he could. In an instant, the ibex leapt in a great arc onto the cliff rim. There the king found his waiting horse, but was so overtaken by the goodness of the ibex, he could not leave. "What can I do to repay you?" begged the king. "If you would come to my palace, we would see that your every need was met. I can't bear to think of you left in this forest with hunters in pursuit. Please come back with me," insisted the king. "Sire, do you think I, who am so contented in the forest, could easily adapt to that? I love nothing better than to live here in peace. But there is one great favor I would like to ask of you." "Anything," said the king. "I ask that you give up hunting for sport. You now realize that all creatures want happiness and security. Can it be right to do that to them? And would you feel good about yourself if you did that? A true king, proclaimed the ibex, will gain his people's love by showing goodness, not showing power." The grateful king agreed to the request. "Now let me show you the way back to safety," suggested the ibex. "Mount your horse and I will guide you home to your camp." The king soon returned to his palace and the ibex disappeared into the shelter of the forest. But forevermore, the king lived by the wise words of the noble ibex, the former Buddha. He forbade hunting for sport throughout his kingdom's domain. He protected his people, but no longer waged costly wars against nearby countries. His kingdom flourished, and thus the good king was greatly loved and respected by his people as the gentlest and wisest of all kings. And so in this book, there's like stories like that. And then there's these little sayings that kind of come out of the things that the Buddha said. Things like, "Whatever harm an enemy may do to you, your own thoughts, stormy and uncontrolled, will harm you more." So the Buddha said that being angry at somebody, what it means is that being angry at somebody hurts you more than it even hurts them, because you're feeling that icky feeling of anger. So he said it's like taking a hot coal and it's like taking a hot coal to throw at somebody. In the meantime, your hand is getting burned. That's what the Buddha said. So maybe I will read one more. How are we doing with tea and everything? Is everybody have their tea? Shall I read one more and then we can just have conversation? Everybody can just talk amongst yourselves. This one's a pretty one. I like this one. This one is pretty. Yeah, the fan. Let's see. Here's the picture. I'll show you the picture first. This is a very short little story. And this is a nun who's lying with the in the flowers in the moon. See? Okay. The worth of cherry blossoms. Do you know what cherry blossoms are? Have you seen cherry blossoms? Yeah? They're pink and they're the first blossoms to come out in spring, aren't they?
Earliest blossoms.
They're so pretty because
I love
cherries. Me too. And you see the tree just looks like it has pink leaves all over it, but that's cherry blossoms.
Sounds like very yummy.
It's a yummy sounding name too, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay. In Japan, 2 centuries ago, there lived a Buddhist nun named Rengetsu. Her life as a nun began tragically after her husband and young children died. To support herself, she worked as a potter, a poet, and an artist. Her exquisite poetry gained her instant fame. She soon found herself moving from one home to the next, trying to avoid the constant press of customers. So she became really famous, and people all wanted to know her and see her, and she just wanted to kind of be quiet and live quietly. Although Japan named her a patron saint of the arts, she never held on to the money her art brought in. She gave it to those who needed it most. More than a few times, she parted with her warm kimono. Do you know what a kimono is?
Yeah.
What's a kimono?
It's like a beautiful shawl.
Yeah. Beautiful dress. To a shivering street beggar, she would give her very clothing away to people who needed it. When a robber entered her home during the night, she lit a lamp for him to see by, then fixed the thief a cup of tea while inviting him to discuss his desperate situation. Rengetsu said she moved about like a drifting cloud blown by fierce wind. Her poems are fresh with images from journeys through forests and mountains. Hold on. On one such pilgrimage to a remote region, she had hiked since noon without having passed through a single village. But at last, as dusk descended, she came upon a small settlement along a riverbank. She knocked on the door of an inn, humbly asking for a night's lodging. But the inn was already full. As she rested, stars appeared out of the advancing darkness. Have you ever been outside with the stars at night?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what that's like. They're all, it's dark and they're twinkling in the sky. That's what she did. And she was going to sleep. She slept under that. As she rested, stars appeared out of the advancing darkness. The village grew steadily more quiet. The sounds of families enjoying their suppers faded into those of preparing for the night. Rengetsu was tired but not discouraged. Beyond the town, she had earlier spied a forgotten orchard with lush, soft grass beneath the trees. She retraced her steps down the road and bedded down for the night under a cherry tree. In the middle of the night, she sensed a bright light upon her face. It awakened her. When her eyes opened, a hazy, snowy moon loomed in the cloudless sky. Directly above her, thousands of cherry blossoms had opened while she slept, and each flower now held bright moonlight in its petal cup. It was so lovely, Rengetsu gasped. She bowed toward the village, giving thanks for the unexpected gift, a gift of nature far more meaningful than a comfortable night in a bed. Rengetsu then composed this poem. Through their kindness in refusing me lodging, I found myself beneath the beautiful blossoms on the night of the misty moon. So those are just some of the stories from this wonderful little book. And if you want, you have a bunch of copies.
We have a bunch of copies over here. They're in the children's section as well.
Great. So enjoy your tea and cookies, and thank you for coming.
And thank you for reading.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. What are you doing to your hat?
And I also want to point out to you that right across the way, they have a wonderful neighbor store, Earth Child, which has all kinds of imaginative items for children of all ages to enjoy.
Are you open today?
No.
Okay. Good.
So, Joe over here is one of the proprietors. And we're very happy that he came over to visit us. And his daughter.
Thanks for inviting us over here.
Thank you.
Neighbors.
Neighbors.
It's good to get our, to know our neighbors. How does she like the tea? Did she like that tea?
Did
she like that tea?
She did like her tea.
Oh, good. It's a nice little teacup, isn't it?
She likes tea.
Do you like the tea?
I like the smell.
You like the smell, huh?
Yeah,
it's really smells. I have a different one. You want to smell mine? Yes, hon.
Wow. That's pretty good with your finger in your hat.
I knew that.
Twirling.
And whistling.
And whistling.
You look familiar. I've seen you somewhere. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I'm not sure where.
Should I go?
Yeah.
Maybe here?
Maybe here. Oh, do you come here every day? Okay, maybe that's it. I'm sorry, what was your name? Glad to meet you, I'm Jacqueline. Boy, she got a lot of cookies, huh?
A
lot of cookies. Yeah. There's also other children's books right there, James. Some of my favorites. Is there Olivia, Amma?
Yeah, there's several Olivias.
I'm very into Olivia.
Yes, there's three.
Do you know
of them
Olivia?
Here.
You introduced me to Olivia.
Did I really?
There's Olivia and the Missing Toy, Olivia Forms a Band, and Olivia Saves the Circus.
Olivia and the Missing Toy.
You like the Missing Toy one?
Olivia. You like the Missing Toy?
No, I like
all of them? This one forms a band. Cool.
They're so funny.
Missing Toy. Okay. Do you see an Olivia book?
Those are beautiful, aren't they?
Oh,
looks like they're cards.
It is a pig. That's lots of pigs.
Olivia likes red a lot. Yeah, that's her painting, huh?
Sometimes, yes, we did once, actually, yeah. There's a dog there, though.
Yes.
They do a story time with a dog, so you got to read the dog.
You want me to read it to you, girls?
Oh, yes. She has so many red socks since she said it would be.
And what's your name?
Talia.
This is Naya.
Story time. Story time.
In winter.
Yeah.
Okay, Olivia and the Missing Toy. Oh, look at, she's looking for the toy on his counter. Have you seen Olivia? They're funny, aren't they?
I have Gaga. I have the first one.
Do you? Oh, I love that first one. Hi.
She really put on quite a show.
She's looking for her toy.
She's looking
for her toy. Look how big her face is.
Satya will be two next to mine.
Right,
we got the red hair going on too.
Oh, she said.
It's the
same color. You got very gentle. It's not our home. One day, Olivia was riding a camel in Egypt. Whoa!
Was it redder?
When her mother woke her up.
Like,
I have to get up, sweetie. I remember you have soccer this morning.
Olivia,
I can't go speak.
They don't go.
I think you're right.
One eye.
Olivia's uniform comes in really attractive green. Unattractive green. You want to pull up the chair, huh?
Mommy, can you make a red shirt with
I want everyone.
But then you're gonna be different than the other
for the flyer and the bed and the bed.
On the team.
On the team. That's the point.
You sound just like Olivia. When Olivia came home from practice, her mother was working on the
show. Is it ready?
Not yet, said her mother.
Is it ready yet?
Not yet, said her mother. Not yet, said her mother. Not yet, said her mother.
We're getting ready. We're getting ready. We're getting ready.
too exhausted.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a nice day. Bye. Thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah.
See you later. So she went out to play with the cat.
Thank you. Hopefully, if we ever expand out the store again,
sure, I'd love to. And we're going to stop by there when we're all done here.
Okay, great,
so we'll see you afterwards. Yeah. Okay, thanks for coming. Hi, nice to meet you, honey. Look at that. That's so funny. That's really funny.
Olivia, the shirt is done. Wait a minute, there's something wrong.
What's that? Oh, I'd love something. Thank you.
Question mark.
Thank you.
Mama, question mark.
That's right. Where's my toy? Said Olivia. Hold on, honey. Let me turn the pages. This is their book, and we want to be really careful.
Where's my toy? I left it right there. I remember it. It was right there.
How it goes. See how big her mouth looks when she's saying it? It really goes, where's my toy? It was right there on the bed. I just put it there. I remember exactly. That's my best toy. I need it now. Somebody took my best toy. Olivia looked everywhere. Under the rug. You want to come join us, honey?
What is this?
That's a candelabra. Honey.
Even though I can read, can you still read to me?
Always. I love. Hey, listen, I can read and I like when people read to me.
What is this?
That's a good book. That's the same as this girl. That's Olivia. See her? She's a pig. She's a little pig.
Can I look at that?
She asked her baby brother William.
William, what have you done to my toy? Was she gaga?
That's what William said. He said, was she gaga? Because he's a little boy and he doesn't know how to speak yet. So that night it was...
Whatever. I used to have this book.
It's a good book. That night, and it was a dark and stormy night, Olivia practicing her piano. Thank you for the demonstration, Diane. The sound got louder and louder. It was horrible. It was coming from behind the door, so of course Olivia went inside. And that's when she saw it. The dog, and he had chewed her toy to bits. Oh, dogs do that sometimes, don't they? Hold on, honey, let me do this. Mommy, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy, it was Perry, cried Olivia. He took my best toy and chewed it to bits, and now it's wrecked. I'm sorry, sweetie pie, said her mother, but doggies like to chew, and he didn't know it was your toy.
My best toy!
My best toy! I don't know what to do.
She's like, don't worry, said Olivia's father. Tomorrow we'll go and get you the very best toy in the whole world.
Like a Christmas.
It looks like Christmas, huh? It's green and red. But Olivia likes to wear lots of red. Oh, thank you, Daddy. I love you more than anyone.
He likes to wear green.
Yeah.
I like to wear red.
Do you? Yeah. Still, it was Olivia's best toy, so she fixed it, adding a bow for extra beauty. All better. Only books about cats tonight, Mommy. She's mad at the dog because the dog chewed up her toy.
Exit doggies.
Yeah.
No doggies allowed.
No doggies allowed.
But you wouldn't be
sad. But even Olivia...
That's
cat. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Read this
one. Oh my goodness. Oh.
Mom.
Boom, boom.
No, read this one. Read this one. This is my favorite.
That's your favorite.
Okay.
Olivia,
look at the circus.
Look at
this.
What have you got there?
It's a magnet.
Oh, a deer, just like what we were talking about.
And that one I got my stocking for. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. That one I got in my
stocking. Thanks for coming.
You got this for Christmas?
Yeah, have a good day.
Santa Claus gave it in my stocking. Isn't it cute?
Really?
He put the magnet.
A magnet in your stocking.
It was the same one from the shop. Look at it. It is a drum.
Boom, boom, like a drum, huh?
I want one of those. I want one magnet.
You don't need a magnet.
I already knew you were right there.
But I might buy you a book today. You want to go look at the books, Naya?
Hey.
She has that one.
I really like Olivia. I just don't have any.
Olivia is such a good book.
She's ask your mom.
Any Olivia book. Like, I don't really like this one.
The one is that I just read is very fun. Where did that go? Did somebody? Oh, here it is.
Look at this drum.
Take a look at this one, Rose.
Drum.
Yeah, there's a drum. Do you like drums?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I can play it with a cymbal.
Uh-huh. With a cymbal?
Yeah, like this. Boom, boom.
Yeah. Here, do you like that one, Rose? You want me to put this one away?
Okay.
You want to look at that one?
You just ate before I got here, and then you had two cookies, and I already said no, so no is the answer.
This is cookie. It's like a biscuit.
Yeah, it is like a biscuit, isn't it? Hey, Naya, do you see the books over here? I'm going to get her a book for being my assistant.
Oh, well, that's a very nice form of remuneration. Isn't that cute? It's a nice turtle. It's a good luck turtle. Did you know that? It's for good luck.
Hold on, Penny. Can I get a couple ounces of Darjeeling?
We may be out of the Darjeeling.
Oh, okay.
Which would really be a bummer, but let me double check.
All right, if not, then something comparable.
Okay.
Olivia's mother was packing a picnic.
Yeah.
I want everyone ready by 7 for the fireworks, real cake, and the band. Cried Olivia. I don't think there will be a band, said her mother. But you can't have fireworks without a band, exclaimed Olivia. I know you have a band. Fine, said Olivia. I'll be the band. What kind of band are you thinking of? Asked her mother.
What?
A fireworks band, of course.
You have a card.
Thinking of something like that.
Okay, Ma.
Sweetheart, one person can be a whole band, said Olivia's mother. Why not? Because the word band means more than one person. And a band sounds like more than one person. Not today. This morning you told me I sounded like 5 people. All day long, Olivia gathered everything she needed to make her band. So she's collecting her stuff so she can make a band. To all of you, she sounded just like a real band. Well, Olivia thinks it's a real band. You want some more tea, Bevan? Maybe one more tea?
Would you like some more tea?
At 7 o'clock, Olivia's mother was trying to get everyone into the
house.
Olivia, aren't you going to bring your band, Sean? I don't feel like it.
Olivia said, Mommy, I have to go to the bathroom. I wonder why. And of course, then Ian said he had to go to the bathroom too.
I don't want to tell Mark.
William just went to the bathroom. The sun was setting, the egg washes and corn on the top. And strawberries and watermelon.
Amba, just tell him to come here. Tell him to come here.
Only if I can have a bite first.
Finally,
a little bit of
I was very late when everyone got home. We're just waiting for Buna.
Oh, you know.
So then Buna can come and then I'll drive them back. Have your tea, sweetie. Did you get your tea?
Yeah, I drank it.
Another one? That's your cookie. It was very late when everyone got home. She was sleepy, so she woke up.
There's three kids.
Olivia's always in red. Olivia always has something in red. Oh, there she comes. Just wait till they will come to the sofa. Because the baby will stop us and then we'll follow each other.
Where's the chapstick?
They're so funny.
That's really funny.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
We did have the tea after all.
Oh, good, good, good.
So I'll put some. I'll put a little bag up front for you.
Wash
when you're
the
look
in. Off your thank face, young you. Lady, and get in the car now. Who said that?
Mom.
Does only the mom say that? Anyone else would say that?
So what book do you want to take home with us?
Yes,
you
guys mom would say that.
Don't get too wild her.
You want to finish your tea? Mm-hmm. Before we leave. Did you like the tea?
I have that.
I have that. Mm-hmm.
I'm in a symbol.
Oh, the symbol?
Yeah, I like
this. You better tell your dad.
I've never seen this one.
Years of who?
You're my baby drama.
You're
a baby or my good dad.
So,
we'll
be seeing you guys again in the next time we have the tea party.
Hey, Grandma.
It's all over. Here you go.
We're going to go dance.
We love Michael Jackson in our house. You like Michael Jackson?
We love Michael Jackson.
We love Michael Jackson.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. If you want to
can you see?
What else does Michael Jackson do, Naya? Naya loves Michael Jackson.
I even have three Michael Jackson movies.
That's right.
No way. Yes, way. No, Michael Jackson's dead. I like it. I need movies.
Yes. I think the two
Do you want me to read that to you tonight? Horton Hears a Who? The thing is that you already know that story. Are you sure you want the book?
Yeah? Okay.
Gonna buy these.
What's going on?
So you come here every day. How lovely. You live close by?
Within walking
distance. Oh, great. Great. Yeah, see the rain, huh? Yeah. It's a nice place to walk, live walking distance, too.
Can I do this? Yes, thank you.
Okay, let's see here. I got to make sure I've got everything. And my hat. And you've got a hat. Yes, you do.
Yes.
Okay.
I got a hat.
You do. You've got a hat.
I like your hat.
It's really pretty. Yeah.
I got a hat.
You sure do. I know it.
I got Grandma had a little horse.
I know. I know about that.
Look at this.
Thank you. You don't want to open it though. You want to keep it closed.
Sweetie, we are going now. It's all over.
Bye.
Bye. Is this yours? Is this your hat?
The prince.
Hope to see you again.
Can
you have
the hat?
It's really fun.
Put it back to you.
Okay, let's go buy you a book.
Can I bring my can you bring another book for me?
Another day. On another day I will. Okay? And maybe you can bring your favorite book with you. Okay, where'd you get this, sweetie? Go put that back and I'll purchase this.
Put them back, please. Put them back, don't touch.
We can go in and go from
the bottom.
Yeah, but yes,
I'll put it back.
Here's
an Olivia book
we don't
have.
Does that look cool? Yeah.
Would you rather get this?
What's this?
It's tea.
That's
what I think.
I like the tea set up.
A coin?
Yeah,
a coin.
How does it work? Like, is there a meeting time or something like that?
No, it's a message board. I give the cones each week and a little bit of instruction on ways to approach using working with a cone. Mm-hmm. And then people just post their experience as their legend. As they.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't actually get those on there because I didn't realize that was part of the deal. So
my acupuncture gloves for our kids.
Gotcha. How much are those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And
Okay.
I don't know. Umba told me they were numbered.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm curious about that story.
Well, the story is that...
Oh, you know what? I bet this never got turned off.